แล้วจังค่อยฟังโอ้ยละนาSomebody, lady and gentleman, the boy and the girl, I so sing song bong fire
Good evening and welcome to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National. It's March 19, according to the Gregorian calendar. The ABC has to provide, according to its editorial charter, a broadcast of programs that contribute to a sense of national identity. Well, hopefully we're here to do that this evening. I'm joined by three brilliant men, three flawed men, but three men, nevertheless, the brilliant...and often lauded second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, Lonely Hearts. And a special hello to anyone listening tonight on their own who might be feeling a bit down, a bit confused, a tad betrayed, you know, thinking if someone puts a picture up on RSVP, it should be a picture of themselves, not something they've ported over from victoriasecret.com, because by the time you find out that's not what they look like, you might already have spent several hundred dollars getting really good seats to Jersey Boys. Good evening to you all.
The surly yet somber former sports fanatic and journalist Terry Wood.
Hello, Richard, and hello, Lonely Hearts all around Australia. Good news for Radio National listeners. After tonight, just two shows left until Doug Spencer returns. So,
wow.
I know there are many people looking forward to that, but good to see you all again, and especially you, Duncan.
Yeah, I hope we're going to find out where you've been, by the way, Terry, because there has been mail. Nick Henry's written in again, by the way.
Oh, has
Nick Henry, yeah.
Abysmal dross. I think that's what he said the last two times.
All you need to know, Duncan, me and Wendy Turnbull, currently off at the moment.
Oh, that's all right.
Ouch. Okay. No more mixed doubles for Wood.
Who else have we got here?
Well, we have someone who was one of the first persons to be inducted into the Travel Agent Hall of Fame.
Of course,
we haven't seen our Lonely Hearts Club host since we all met at Hosam Healesville chapter, the men's group there. We are, of course, joined by the incredible travel agent to the layman, Mr. Dallas Ng.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a real thrill to be on the radio and to be here with you guys, see you guys again. You guys all look great.
It's been a while since the century, it's good to see you.
And I thank you, Richard, for mentioning the awards that I've had. And
certificates?
The Hall of Fame, which was a huge moment in my life. I am a travel agent to the layman, but I also have a few celebrity clients.
Wow.
And it's not really my place to say, but I will let you guys know. I am travel agent to Lauren Newton. From the telly? Yeah.
The Circle,
From the Circle, yeah. So she often comes in and I sort her out.
Where does Lauren like to travel in winter?
She loves Bali, Seminyak.
Loves the wicker.
And Steve Oemke.
Steve Oemke.
He was a one-time host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, really? Wow. You mean like just one episode or?
No, Duncan, he did a thing for a season and now he has a production company.
In Australia?
Australian production company, Steve Oemke.
I was sure that Baby John did every single episode.
Was his name Ernie? He did.
Ernie Sigley.
He hosted Wheel of Fortune.
Sigley did not Wheel of Fortune.
He possibly did.
Maybe
he
did Celebrity Tattletale. So that was Ugly Dave.
Is it Steve Oemke or is it Steve Oemke?
It's Steve Oemke.
Where does he like to go, Dallas?
He's a big fan of Vietnam. He likes hiking through Vietnam and northern Thailand. He loves northern Thailand as well.
Fairly flat topography there. You know, perhaps he's going there for other reasons.
What are you thinking, Richard?
I'm not too sure what's happening with the limestone there in light of recent happenings in the Pacific.
Duncan, you haven't done much travelling to Thailand. I know it's quite a young country.
Oh, I did a bit of second unit on Vietnam with Nicole Kidman. Pre the shiny forehead.
Right.
Post bandits. Pre Bathgate.
Rundle Mall wasn't available.
Rundle Mall was not available, although it certainly was when we did Sample People.
Who books your holidays, Duncan?
I just generally do it myself online. Isn't that what...
No.
Foolish?
Well, let's work out a possible itinerary. Come Easter for Duncan Jardine. I think he's got a break from the new series of City Homicide.
Well, I think the whole series has got a break from itself at this point. We're still waiting to hear.
Well, all the best. And if you're listening, Bornie, good luck with the halitosis. We've got some wonderful guests coming in this evening, none more so than esteemed author Tony Wilson. He's coming in to talk love and literature.
Oh, great.
We have a very, very exciting guest who's coming in to chat to us about how we can improve our own appearance, if that is at all possible, Terry. Kate Allen, our wonderful image consultant. And, of course, the segment I'm looking forward to, the lady expert herself, Jane Allsop, one of the best Australian actor cooks going around on set and in the kitchen. She's coming by with a first date recipe. But before we get to them, it's time to taste 7 inches of pure love. Wow. From February 1984. From the album 1100, Bel Air Place, which of course was the home and residence of Julio Iglesias. That was a cover song, would you believe, from Albert Hammond.
From The Strokes, sorry, what?
The Albert Hammond song by Singers.
Yes,
it's an earlier tune from the decade with a five in it.
Sung at my wedding by Mr. Mike Walsh.
Really?
Beautiful set of pipes. It was a very special part of the day.
Alanis Morissette covered that song last year and changed the lyrics to avoid any copyright to All the Boys I've Loved Before.
That's what she's done there.
Clever. I thought she might have changed it to Liked as well, just to avoid any possible confrontation. You are listening to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National all around Australia, here till midnight tonight. And, of course, what happens at 12.01?
At 12.01, this podcast is available on our website.
How do they turn it around so quickly?
It's amazing. At 1 minute past 12, the Lonely Hearts Club podcast is available to download. You might have listened to it and then you want to enjoy it again straight after. I know many people around the country just block off 4 hours to listen to the show live and then listen to it again.
They're going, from 12 to 2. I want to hear the origins of To All the Girls I Loved Before again.
Yeah.
What are these podcasts? How do they...
Dallas, you don't know what a podcast is.
I've heard the name. Got to say, I'm a little bit out of touch, but I've heard the name. It's an internet radio show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a file you download for your ears. Like
basically, when someone perhaps can't listen to our program live, they click on a button that says, listen to the podcast.
Yes.
We all get a page.
Yep.
We come into the studio and perform the show again from memory whenever we can at any all times of day. We're on call. It's much like a doctor.
I see. So it's not just on at 12.01.
No.
And given the quick turnaround, the 1 minute turnaround, often our Lonely Hearts Club podcasts haven't even been our Lonely Hearts Club podcasts.
No, there was a couple of weeks ago, people were getting Hugo Weaving reading The Sentimental Bloke,
which amazingly got more hits than our show does. So that was mildly awkward. But in Dallas's defense, that question of his about what a podcast is may have seemed naive, ridiculous, stupid, but that's because, in your defence, travel is your life, Dallas.
That's my number one.
How did you get into travel agency work?
Well, I always loved to travel. I always loved to see the world, and an opportunity came up where I needed to find some work, and I just finished uni. I did a media studies course. This is years ago, before any of this podcasts, any of that stuff. I'm not a big fan of the internet. It's really, it does hurt the travel agency business.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, no offence, but I would have thought that with the booking systems on the internet, the travel agent would be now as obsolete as the village blacksmith.
Very incorrect, Duncan. Wrong. Extremely incorrect. We've done a lot of studies on booking holidays through the internet, and we've found that 95% of the time, it doesn't work.
Right, so you're saying forget the convenience of the internet, drive, find a park, and go down to see you.
Dallas, I wanted to ask you, recently on the Lonely Hearts Club, we spoke about names.
Yes.
And whether or not it had any saying in your outcome or your future, if it was a nurture or nature type thing. Dallas, your Christian name, perhaps your real name, or is it a travel agent name?
No, Dallas is my real name. My parents called me Dallas. Funny story, actually, because I travel quite a lot around the world. I get great discounts at Travel on Cavill, where I work in Surfers Paradise.
Right.
And so when I went to Dallas for the first time, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was checking into the hotel. The funniest thing, I walk up to the desk and they say, what's your name? I say, Dallas. They say, that's where you are. but what's your name?
Right.
I say, Dallas. Right. Then they say, no, no, that's where you are. What's your name? It was like one of those funny Abbott and Costello sketches.
Right.
Who's on first?
Oh, yes, who's on first? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We mentioned in the previous break, perhaps putting together a holiday for Duncan when he has a break from shooting City Homicide.
Yep.
Where does he go for a bit of sun surf and R&R?
Well, first of all, Duncan, I mean, by the look of you, you love to surf, I would imagine, yes?
Oh, I'll give it a crack. I've got a flutterboard.
Do you like going overseas or are you more of a homebody?
Look, I like to go anywhere where I can get ideas for shots. You know what I mean? If I can frame it up, I'll be there.
So beautiful looking scenery, some interesting looking people maybe?
I like to see a location with a good aspect ratio.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you been to Perth?
I've did some shooting in the boom years of 10BA, the Brian Trenchard-Smith's Day of the Panther and Strike of the Panther, but really only worked there, not in a holiday capacity.
All right. I don't watch a lot of TV, but it sounds like a great show.
Yeah.
Perth, which is beautiful. If you'd like to head overseas, there's some lovely, lovely continents. Southeast Asia is beautiful at the moment, and maybe you could think about that.
Right, okay. Will I need to learn a language? For either Perth or Southeast Asia?
No, Perth, they speak Australian.
Right. I understand they're very wealthy now. Everyone in Perth is a millionaire.
I think everyone is.
Right.
So, yeah, you can do that. But if you wanted to go Southeast Asia, they also speak Australian and English, so you could talk to most people.
If one was hypothetically interested in a relationship with an age-inappropriate woman, would you suggest Southeast Asia?
Oh, most definitely. It's extremely easy to get them.
Okay, well, all right, mark me down.
Yeah, I think you'll have a great time.
Okay, I might pass that info on to Borny as well.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to see you, Dallas, and travel on Cavill in Surfer's Paradise.
Can I just ask, Dallas, if we were to pop into your office, what would we see immediately behind your desk? Would we see a laminated, sun-faded poster of the Taj Mahal?
Yes, you would say that right next to the picture of me. A lot of people would walk in and they'd look at the photo of me and they'd say, when was that taken?
Right.
And I'd say, 15 years ago, we'd have a laugh.
Dallas, how long have you been a travel agent?
34 years now.
And how many employees are the week?
Well, there's only me in there.
34 years of employee of the week.
Wow, well done.
And it is by default, but to be honest, often I do deserve it.
Well, speaking of Southeast Asia, it's time to hear some Thai funk. This is Nong Joy. Kap Kun Kap to Pech Potaram with Nong Joy. Always great listening to Thai people on vinyl. Wonderful cadence to it. Right now, we're joined by a lady expert. She's been overseas many times. She's helped men many times. She's solved many crimes. But most importantly, she's back in the Lonely Hearts Club this evening. She's Australia's leading actor cook. Boys, girls, men and women, please join me in welcoming the incredible Jane Allsop.
Hello.
Wow.
Hi.
Hello, Jane. Good to have you back.
You look ravishing. Yes.
Well, thank you.
That's the Mount Thomas police uniform that you're wearing?
Clearly not. No.
Can I just say, we were told not to mention Mount Thomas or go on and on about Blue Heelers,
but
Jane.
But now that it's up.
Can I just ask, is it true that John Wood would often ruin takes by yelling at inappropriate moments, who's for a Dutch oven?
Yes, that's absolute fact.
I knew that, but it was mentioned at the Logies.
No, that is true.
I apologise, Jane. Duncan.
Okay, just no more healers.
His mic's going off for 5 seconds as a punishment.
Okay.
Jane, there's a beautiful odour in here this evening. Mm. What is it?
Thank you.
Well, I have hidden your dishes under a plate.
Yes.
Just so that we can have a moment.
Yeah, what does it smell like?
It smells of a dish I had when I was in Koh Phangan many years ago for a full moon party, and it smells like that, so I think it's Thai.
Doused in Red Bull, perhaps.
Wrong.
Terry, what do you think?
50-50.
Just judging by the smell, I'd go with a fruit salad. Is it fruit salad?
No, it's not fruit. Yeah, I did keep in mind that you were allergic to fruit, so I haven't done that.
Is it mint doused in mint sauce? Feels very minty.
No.
And I'm going to chime in with, I'm pretty sure it's Neapolitan ice cream.
No, but you're getting close on the second dish. We've got two dishes this evening taste. This is the first course.
Okay.
So if you'd like to unveil your plates now.
Okay. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
It's got some fruit in it.
I'll just talk you through it. This is a date night menu I've planned here.
A first date recipe.
Yeah. Look, the beauty of a home date, I think, is you never have to get to the point of saying, would you like to come in for a coffee? You're already there. So that's sort of
benefit. Can I just back you up? The first time I ever went out with my ex-wife, Wendy, she said that she wanted a home-cooked meal. So I took her to Mum and Dad's.
Yeah.
And, cheap.
Yeah, which was, Mum had some leftover apricot chicken and we served it up. Home-cooked meal is a beautiful
thing. It's probably nice to get to know someone just, you know, one-on-one, perhaps. That was more my thinking with this dish.
When Terry's mother stormed down into the kitchen thinking they'd discovered burglars, that was when Terry revealed he should have phoned ahead and asked.
Yeah. Probably. And also, you know, it was a Saturday, so Dad had a big day on it too. So it wasn't a great night.
Actually, we should tell the listeners, first of all, what we've unveiled here, which is fettuccine carbonara with rocket pear and parmesan salad. I suggest serving this with a glass of wine. Now, I didn't bring in the wine because I didn't think that was appropriate, but now that I can see Duncan over there getting into the bourbon straight, probably would have been all right.
But, I've been told it's the way to go here at the ABC. I'm told Dougie Spencer loves to neck one at about this time of the evening.
Well, you've certainly been sucking on that bottle there.
It would explain the long song that goes on at about this time every Saturday night.
Can I just ask,
17-minute sitar.
Jane, is it true that Martin Sachs would ruin takes by insisting on doing many of his lines in, quote, his Mario Condello voice?
Yeah.
Duncan, please don't answer that.
Before he'd even done Mario Condello.
It was uncanny. He didn't even know who Mario Condello was.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question, a food-related question. Mm-hmm. And I've always queried this when I've been cafes around the world. Pear and parmesan, why put them in a salad?
Look, I think the pear adds a nice sweetness and maybe not for everyone. But I think the beauty of the salad with this dish is that it's a little bit heavy just having a carbonara on its own, a little bit dense.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the real key to this is, A, not to overcook it at the end because you'll just end up with it very dry. But secondly, you don't want to make your lady friend feel unwell at the end of eating it. So I would really watch portion size with this. Mm-hmm. You'd like to leave her wanting more as opposed to feeling sick. And
Jane, you mentioned cooking. How does one cook the fettuccine?
Okay, I'll just talk you through the recipe here. So obviously this will be available on the Facebook site, which is probably the easiest way as opposed to trying to write it down.
Will you be putting up the whole recipe or just leaving out a secret ingredient?
No, I will be putting up the entire recipe. This is, I believe, an extremely good carbonara.
And it's also available in podcast. Hugo Weaving will be reading the recipe at 12:01 tomorrow night.
Now, have I got any feedback so far on the carbonara?
Well, I would like, if you wouldn't mind, Jane, would you email me this recipe?
Sure.
It's just dallasung at travelonkavel.com.
Yep. Would you like to give me a holiday?
I can talk. I already look after Lauren Newton and Steve Owenke.
Okay. Big names,
I know how to deal with actresses and celebrities. So.
Okay.
In confidence.
In confidence, Jane, clearly.
Absolutely.
Jane, before you get to the recipe, the fettuccine, can that be substituted for something else?
Sure. Linguine.
Yeah.
Rice.
Steak.
I'm not sure if rice would necessarily work.
No.
I'd probably stick to something in the realm of pasta land.
Oh, okay.
Jane, please tell us how does one cook this?
Look, you chop up the bacon and the onion and a little bit of garlic, put it in a fry pan.
Diced.
Terry's having a problem.
The Heimlich maneuver.
Is there garlic in this?
Are you okay?
Yes, there is a little garlic. Is that a problem?
Terry's
allergic. I love garlic and pear together, Jane.
The pear is in the salad, for those confused listening at home. And a little thyme as well. Fresh thyme is very important. Cook that until it browns and deglaze the pan with a splash of white wine. That's quite important because it does add some lovely flavour there.
Not bourbon, Duncan.
No, definitely not bourbon. Cook the pasta. I'm sure you all know how to do that. Possibly not. If so, have a trial run before the date night. You don't want to mess this up on the night. Combine the eggs, cream and parmesan in a bowl. Add the bacon in. And look, once the pasta is cooked, you then return this cream and bacon mixture over the pasta and cook it on low heat. This is the careful part, I suppose, because you don't want to make it scrambled eggs on pasta and make it dry. It should still have a creamy texture to it.
You can say goodbye to your first date if that's the case.
That's right.
Who has scrambled eggs for dinner? No one.
And serve it with a little parsley. And the salad is quite simply rocket pear and parmesan pear slices mixed together with a olive oil and balsamic dressing.
Jane, you mentioned if we were lucky enough to have a lady friend or a male friend on a first date, should we incorporate them into the cooking process? And if so, which section of this meal should we entrust them to oversee?
Yeah, look, I think it's lovely to talk and cook together. I think that's really nice. And certainly when I have people over, often I'll still be preparing things and say, would you like to chop up something? You know, they'll offer and chop up something for the salad.
Nine and a half week style, Jane.
Maybe that's going a little far. Oh, okay. But, you know, look, that can be fun too. And you might be interested in trying some of those meals.
Do you know anyone who's worked on 9 and a half weeks?
No, but I know a lot of people who, in a situation like you're describing, will like to put on the soundtrack from The Big Chill and just dance around the kitchen with the salad bowls looking like an idiot.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen 9 and a half weeks. Terry, could you explain the reference?
Well, Jane was just talking about incorporating
a pottery wheel, and they were...
Ghost.
Yeah,
it was Ghost. I think you're talking about there, Richard.
8 and a half ghosts, wasn't it?
Eight and a half ghosts. Goodness me. Jane, let me get this interview back on track and back on subject. Is it true, on the set of Healers, if you had to do, say, a close-up, a second unit shot of your hand just turning a door or placing a coffee mug on a coaster, that you refused to do those shots and that Kathy Godbold was subbed in for just the hand shots?
No, but I did do a shot once meant to be on my hand, and they used someone with extremely podgy digits, which I wasn't very happy about. It had a spider on my hand, and I was a little distressed that it went out to air, with people obviously assuming I had very podgy digits.
They brought in Jonathan Coleman.
Wow.
Goodness. That's
good
awkward.
Old Jono. You've just handed us something, Jane. What is
yeah,
in this?
Now this is the piece de resistance.
Some sort
this
of lasagna or something.
Super choc ice cream and raspberries, which I'm suggesting to serve as a dessert with a glass of dessert wine. I made this ice cream and I'm telling you
from
it is...
From
scratch. It is the best chocolate ice cream
and
you can eat.
You made this
opinion.
Ice cream yourself?
Yeah.
Incredible. If you don't like wine, you could take Duncan's tip and get a schooner of bourbon to wash it down.
Why not?
These recipes are, of course, available on our website, www.abc.net.au/rn/theLonelyHeartsClub, and, of course, on our Facebook page. Jane, is there anything that you can't do? I mean, this is incredible. I mean, how easy is this to make? How long would this take to whip this together?
Look, it's not terribly difficult. You know, it's fairly simple, but really tasty
and not expensive.
Having a go at. No, I haven't really costed it exactly, but in my opinion, it's better than ice cream
you
can buy.
None of it's organic, is it, Jane?
Look, it is really good, and I feel comfortable giving the kids this because there's no preservatives, there's no emulsifiers, there's no numbers, there's no... It literally is cream, milk, sugar, egg yolks, and some chocolate.
Is that sending the wrong message, cream, milk, and sugar on the first date?
No, I don't think so. I don't think a date is the time to watch the calories. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not everyday food, but I think it's important when you're on a date to not worry about those things and just enjoy beautiful food
special
and good
treat.
Company.
Yeah, great. Special treat.
Just in summing up this whole wonderful repast you've placed before us, is it true that William McInnes would often be seen in a shot reading one of his own books and often improvised dialogue where his character would say, hey, everyone, I know we're solving a murder, but what about this new book, Cricket Kings?
Look, he was a big improviser, but he hadn't written the books at that stage, so I'm not sure that's
Jane,
true.
Jane, may you please join us for our season finale show on the 2nd of April, according to the Gregorian calendar, our 8th and final show for a special season finale dish, perhaps. Is there anything that you'd like Jane to cook for our last series finale?
Well, I think it'd be appropriate if she invented a dish simply called Spencer's Return.
Wow. Can't wait for that one.
For the Dougie fans.
Get me thinking. Yep.
Spencer's Return. Of course, Doug Spencer joining the ABC again on Saturday nights as of the 9th of April. Jane Alsop, First Aid Dishes, available on our website and our Facebook page. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
Thanks, Jane.
Right
thanks,
now, Jane. A song all the way from France about Ron Casey and Normie Rowe.
This I swear to you tonight, there is no place for you to hide. Your child will live within my care, wherever you may hide away. grave, and I will raise her to the light. I swear to you, I will be there.
Gosh. Bass baritone at its finest. And a dramatic tenor in there as well.
From Les Miserables.
Les Miserables, of course, that was Jean Valjean and Inspector Javert.
We do have some fabulous packages where you can see Les Mis on Broadway if you come to Travel on Cavill in the next 2 weeks.
What sort of music do you have in the travel agents when people pop in the background?
A lot of heavy metal.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of heavy metal. It seems to really excite people. And sometimes it really scare people into making purchases that they're not ready for.
Okay, well,
always used Allison to book my holidays. I must say I do enjoy his catchphrase, or when he answers the phone, "Hello, Dallas from Tweed Heads, not from Texas."
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Anyone can go to travelloncavill.com to become a member. Now, the spelling of that is slightly different. It's Traville, so it's V-I-L-L-E on Cavill. Travelloncavill.com. Become a member today, and you'll receive some invites to different launches and movie nights that we have sometime.
How many members have you got, Dallas?
There's 60 scores. Oh, yeah. 60. Three scores.
Wow. 34 incredible. Years and 60 members.
Dallas, it fluctuates.
Yep.
We have this evening joining us later in the second hour of our show, The Lonely Hearts Club, Australian author Tony Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And also we have Mathilde returning to the Lonely Hearts Club, always spicing things up in the bedroom.
Can I just say, Tony Wilson, is he the bloke who wrote that novel about Sam Newman's balls a few years ago?
I think that was the byline, wasn't it, to the book?
I think it might have been.
I think you guys may be confusing things. I don't know that Sam Newman was ever mentioned in the book Players, was
he? Oh, it was one of those ones where the names are changed, but I think it was essentially about his balls.
Right now, it's time to leave the small studio of Radio National and scoot all the way across the Pacific to Hollywood, California.
Live and direct from Hollywood, Los Angeles, with all the latest entertainment, movie news and blues, it's Hollywood Nights with Sir Nigel.
Oh, yes. Now, Sir Nigel, it's been a fantastic year for Australian film artisans with your Geoffrey Rush, your Nicole Kidman, Shawnee Tan and Jackie Weaver. I think Shane Porteous all featuring at the Oscars. But where to now in Hollywood regarding Jackie Weaver and her stunning performance in Animal Kingdom? Will she be fielding a torrent of offers, or will she still have to audition like the rest of them?
Auditioning, my dear, a terrible necessity. That's what I call it. Like being on trial for murder, as Derek Jacobi once put it, a subject he'd know a thing or two about, since murdered he was by the critics during his tenure at the Prospect Theatre's production of A Month in the Country. Dreadful reviews, needlessly harsh. My butcher was kinder to his offal. I had to talk poor Derek off a ledge. We lived together for a while above a fish shop in Bayswater. A wonderful man, not without his imperfections. Horrible wind. But yes, these reviews, one must accept it as a part of the art. You know, you had to work for it when I trod the boards. These days, you're thrown a corset, they'll give you a BAFTA. Carpenters working around the clock, day and night, to build shelves for Helen Mirren's trophies today. Her accolades, of course, I remember when she was just a bar wench from Essex. But it's always the unexpected reviews that sting the most. I remember doing a production of Twelfth Night in Devon, of all places, and the local reviewer there said that, and I quote, "My halting delivery made it feel like it went on for 13 nights." And of course, I was inconsolable at the time. I felt like I'd gone from the West End to the very end. And of course, that production went on to win several more accolades.
If it's Hollywood, it's Higglefight.
Well, that's cleared up that Jackie Weaver question.
Wow. ABC Radio National, this is the Lonely Hearts Club, here this evening till midnight tonight. Of course, you can Twitter us at Lone Heart Club throughout the show.
Twitter.
Dallas is Twittering as he says that.
Twitter, yeah. I've recently, in the last couple of minutes, signed up to Twitter.
Right. Yes. Despite your hatred of the internet.
Yeah, well, I've decided that I'm going to try and accept it and become one with the internet. So, Twitter.
Were you able to get your own name, or was there a Dallas-ing already?
I've had to change the spelling slightly, so it's Travel @on_Cavill.
Yeah.
But Cavill is spelt C-A-V-E-L.
But and travel is still spelled T-R-A-V-I-L-L-E.
_on_Cavill, spelt like travel with a C.
Have you tweeted yet? Have you put up any funny links to a cat, you know, playing a piano or, you know, with a balloon stuck to it or something, static electricity?
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to tweet or whatever.
It's just typing, basically, really, 140 characters.
Again, the typing is difficult.
Okay, right.
Whatever you do, don't start the week by putting up a link to a cat doing something. It's stupid and no one likes it.
On a Monday?
Yeah.
Wears out its welcome.
Well, good luck with the tweeting. We can always answer your messages live throughout the show and during the week. At Lone Heart is our Twitter club. We actually were tweeting during the week. Apparently you went out on a date, Duncan.
I don't know how that got onto the internet, Richard. How did that get on there?
ABC Radio National Publicity Department. There's no stone they don't leave unturned. And there are paparazzi following you, I probably should point out, as soon as you leave the ABC studios.
I'm not saying that I did just a count of this talk of age-inappropriate women, but I was able to step out during the week with the lovely Joan Sidney. You may know her as Matron Sloan.
From the TV show A Country Practice.
Firm but fair, Matron Sloan, that's right. And I think somebody, I don't know who actually controls the Lone Heart Club Twitter account.
I actually think it's Stuart Littlemore.
Really?
Yes.
Punctuation was very good and can't say that it was not defamatory because some of those comments were uncalled for. But
where did you go?
Well, that was it. They had a competition on there. You know, people could send in where I could go. What were some of the suggestions?
Nice.
The
most overwhelming response was an abandoned meatworks.
I think that was a reference to some of my second unit work. But in the end, we decided to spend a fun old night at Roman Scandals in Sydney. I don't know if you've been there. It's naughty but nice and, you know, Roman-themed. And the evening ended with Joan up on the roof of the Sandman yelling, "Toga, toga, toga," to anyone who was passing. That's wild great. Lady.
Did she have her matron's hat on?
Not at first, but things did turn matronly as the sun went down.
Incredible.
Did you ever shoot any second unit on a country practice, Duncan?
I never did any work on country practice because, of course, I was across the road doing cop shop with my old buddy, the late Bill Stalker, at that time. But country practice, I have to say, I don't think there were any take twos.
Yeah.
You'll often see an actor hovering in the edge of frame waiting for his entrance.
He didn't rate the second unit work on a country practice.
No, I did not.
I never understood why call it country practice.
Well, it was a
veterinary practice.
In the country.
In the country.
Yeah, okay.
Which is not the city.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Wow.
No, good.
Speaking of the country, had Grace McClure here in the club last week. Swimsuit model, athlete, motivational speaker.
That's right. Quite a looker.
Quite a looker. Roger Cunnington.
Yeah.
Even changed string singlets for her when she came into the studio.
Right.
She was talking about growing up in the bush near Broken Hill. She mentioned how difficult it was to find men in the bush. We even went to some of our Lonely Hearts Club listeners who phoned in for advice on how to meet men in the bush. Some of our producers have done some research for us this week. Believe it or not, we do have producers. And they've pulled an article from a major newspaper, Australian newspaper, saying there's a man drought on the Australian coast.
Right, okay.
And a man dam in the country's remote bush.
What's a man dam?
Presumably there's too many men in a small area.
Right, okay.
With some form of natural kind of riverbank around them, stopping them from leaving that remote town, kind of like Thunderdome.
The idea would be to get the dammed up blokes over to where the drought is.
That's the hope. Due to immigration policies, this newspaper mentions, that favoured males, today's Australian women have it harder than their baby boomer sisters did 30 years ago. According to the latest statistics, there were 96,900 more females than males in Australia.
Wow.
That's interesting, because that's actually very similar to the book that you're planning on writing, Terry, isn't it? You're planning on writing a similar book?
Oh, well, I've got an extensive range of books that I've written in the woods.
Chopping the Woods?
Chopping the Woods.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I wrote one on parenting called Father Wood.
Oh, yeah. What a piece of wood.
Just so many.
And
so,
the book of interviews.
Fantastic.
Well, Interrogate.
Yeah, Interrogate. But also, Woodcuts was basically just a series of anecdotes that weren't good enough to make the previous six or seven books. And we just put them in there.
As Wood as It Gets.
Best of.
As Wood as It Gets during my playing careers was a great one. And the last one, after I finished playing, I went into stockbroking and wrote one called Greed is Wood.
Right.
Which was a very big seller just before the 97 crash.
Well, according to this newspaper, single men are concentrated in rural and remote communities, whereas single women prefer the city and lifestyle towns.
Right.
A generation ago, women were more likely to remain in rural communities. Now they've gone into major cities and caused a major shift and a gender imbalance. There was a Queensland mayor who made international headlines a few years ago when he called for female ugly ducklings to remove to the remote mining town of Mount Isa.
Oh, I don't know about that.
According to the statistics, at the age of 25, women have the best odds of finding a partner, as there are 23% more single men than women. But the odds shorten after 30, and by 34, there are more single women than unattached men. By age 40, single women outnumber single men by 9%. And that divide lists to 17% by age 50. At 80, it's dramatic 66%. Wow.
It's not easy.
Algorithm.
Wow, Dallas, I mean, is this an opportunity for you, a sort of man-drought package?
That's a good idea,
yeah.
Duncan. Put them all on a bus.
Yeah.
Maybe young people, maybe women no older than 28, and men as old as they like. Okay. That's a great trip.
It's a bold vision.
28, that number seems high.
24.
For you, Duncan.
Yeah, oh, look, I'm sick of the Ricky Nixon jokes, by the way, guys. Can we leave them out this week?
If you're single and a female and no one will date you, head up to Surfers Paradise. Speak to Dallas.
Get
from Tweed Heads, yeah. Not from Texas.
Yeah, travel and cavil.
Right now, here's a Sicilian American.
And just a gigolo.
Louis Prima. Happy birthday. On the 7th of December, if he wasn't dead.
Recently inducted, by the way, Richard, into the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame.
They exhumed him, did they?
No, they didn't, but finally getting some of the recognition that he deserves.
Dallas, the Hall of Fame, you've been inducted into the Real Estate Hall of Fame.
Either the Travel Agency Hall of Fame. Yeah, no, people often get confused between real estate agents and travel agents. Because
I thought they were piggybacking the ceremonies.
No. I was inducted, into the Hall of Fame. So.
And what does the Hall of Fame look like?
It's a hall, I think it's in the council building now. They've moved to the main Surfers Paradise Council.
Okay, so there a big laminated, sun-faded poster of the Taj Mahal on the wall?
Yeah, it's a marvellous photo. It is quite sun damaged, but a marvellous photo, yeah.
The stairs going down into the Hall of Fame actually goes underneath the Great Barrier Reef and up at Norfolk Island.
Wow.
Quick one from me, Dallas, the big night of your induction into the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Host for the evening?
The host was the son of one of the councillors who's trying to become a stand-up comedian, and they gave him the job, and he did some jokes, a monologue, I think it's called.
Brett Climo.
King of the one-liners.
That was a long time ago. That's going back 33 years ago.
Oh, you're inducted after 1 year. Straight in. Wow.
Wow. Congratulations, Dallas Ng. You're listening to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National Live around Australia from Monkey Maya to Melbourne and from Wangaratta to Wagga Wagga. We're joined once again by the esteemed second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Hello, good evening.
Hall of Fame inductee, travel agent to the layman, Dallas Ng.
Come fly with me, guys.
And, of course, the surly yet somber former sports journalist, Terry Wood.
Richard, pleasure to be here.
Special time here at the Lonely Hearts Club. There's a beautiful, beautiful smell in the club. It's not the fettuccine carbonara, actor cook, Jane Alsop. It is some type of perfume belonging to a wonderfully aesthetically pleasing lady.
Beautiful.
By the name of Kate Allen from MWAF. Hello, Kate. Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Club.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, Kate, may I ask, what is MWAF?
Well, it's actually Man What a Fuss. It's a men's grooming salon and spa.
And this is something that's open during daylight, or is it one of the ones that I like to visit after 12?
Okay. No, it is. It's actually Monday to Friday in the daytime.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're an image consultant. What is exactly an image consultant?
Okay, well, I've got a background in beauty therapy and hairdressing, And basically what we can do in there is we can actually like look at you from head to toe and work out what's going to look good for you with your style. We can also work with your well-being and your image as well.
MWAF, is it catering to men only?
That's right, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
We, of course, all met at HOSM Healesville Chapter, Men's Health Group and Emotional and Social Awareness Wellbeing. They did touch on our appearance and ways to improve on that. One lecturer did concentrate on pushing quicks back on our fingernails. Is that something that MWAF specialise in?
Yeah, they probably would have done that for you because it helps to stop hangnail on your fingers, so okay. That actually can be quite painful.
Yeah. Hiding your hands. Another thing we learnt rather painfully up at the retreat was the crack back and sack. Now, I thought that was a wrestling move. Can you tell us what that actually is?
It's waxing of the undercarriage, so your bits and pieces.
Oh! Mm.
And you know how girls have Brazilian waxing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that a nickname for it, the crack back and sack waxing, or is that actually what it's called?
Oh, no, it's not called that. I think we call it triple X waxing, but...
That sounds worse.
But lots of guys come in and have their chest waxed and their backs waxed and shoulders and necks. And
Why stop there? Lots of guys have their
nose hairs waxed. That's a huge thing in there. So we have, like, a hair cutting service, and with that you'll get, like, your nose hairs waxed and your eyebrows and your ear hairs and... You'll have like a express facial at the basin, which is great to brighten up the skin and just make you look fresh and a million bucks. Because a lot of times guys, they look at themselves and they say, okay, well, I'm going to just get my hair cut, and they'll spend $10. $80 to $100 on a haircut. Then they'll go off to the races and they'll have hairs hanging out their noses and ears. And the first thing a girl sort of sees is, you know, your eyebrows or your skin.
And then all roads lead to the undercarriage. Embarrassment is complete.
Kate, is it important to women that men have a double cleanse, invigorating salt scrub, blackhead extraction, and luxurious heated clay mask?
I think basically what it will do is it'll keep your skin maintained. So if you want to look good all of the time, you know, your skin's a very important part of that.
Okay.
So
well,
women do it.
Let's use Dallas as our, I guess, control Petri dish.
I can tell you for starters, straight up, I've got a top on at the moment, but if you saw my back, and I'm speaking for Richard as well, because Richard's back, it's just like a shag pile back there. And mine is quite similar. If starting at the back, how do I cleanse that of all the rubbish?
Okay, well, the best thing that you could possibly do for your back is to have a Vichy shower at the salon. What we do is we scrub your skin down with salt, so sea salt.
Yes.
And you're under a cascading waterfall. So it's beautiful treatment. It makes you feel like, oh, you know, go get them, tiger. You know, it's really good. It's great for your circulation and great for your relaxation, and it's fantastic for your skin. Sea salt's very healing on the skin, and also, too, it'll remove any rubbish, blackheads, things like that. And if you have any breakout on your back, it's a good way to address that.
And is it something, Kate, that Dallas would come in once and that would be it? Or is there some sort of ongoing therapy?
If you did a back treatment or a Vichy shower, you could probably do that every couple of weeks. That's fine to do that. Massage as well. Like, we have clients that visit 3 times a week for massage. We do lots of different types of massage in this. So we do remedial massage and myotherapy and relaxation.
I mean, I get spray tanned 3 times a week.
I think you probably should ease up on the spray. Mm. It can actually start to coat the skin. It can dry the skin out. And... you know, I don't think you really need to be spray tanning because you've actually got quite a good complexion.
I work in Surfers Paradise and there's a lot of tanned, bronzed beauties, and I feel the need to be bronzed like them.
But it's such a thick layer. I mean, I notice you're unable to bend your elbow there. You know, I mean, I'd hold back a bit on that.
I actually didn't realise you were wearing your Travel on Cavill uniform, the orange uniform with the chocolate epaulettes. I thought that you just had
the only uniform in any travel agent with 60 pockets on it.
Wow. Goodness.
60 pockets.
Nothing you can't hold. Kate, I wanted to ask, how do you bring up with somebody, they come in for perhaps something to do with like a nasal hair extraction. How do you on-sell sensitively to the client that comes in? How do you say, it might be time to get rid of that forest in your ear?
Yeah. When the client does sit down, our point of difference is that we do an overall examination of the client. And
clothed?
Yes. Say with Dallas, I would look at Dallas and I would say that his main concern would be with shaving.
Wow.
Because he has got such a lot of growth.
Mm. What about on his face?
Oh, yeah, I don't think we need to go into the hairiness too much, but I understand where you're coming from. I've got a little bit more than average.
Yeah, and I'd probably wax the peaks off his eyebrows here
so that
he gets a really natural man's brow shape.
Wow.
But, you know, the first thing a woman does is to look into your eyes and, you know, when you're engaging her. So, you know, your eyebrows do frame your face and it's a good...
I find the eyebrows are quite a magnet.
Yes, the eyebrow.
Definitely.
Just in closing, Kate, is there a bona fide rule when it comes to dressing that perhaps our listeners could take from tonight, such as don't wear brown shoes with a black belt, or is there something that...
I think it's really important to have your own sense of style, but I believe that it's very important to have your clothes fitting correctly. And you see a lot of men walking around with suits that don't fit them because they buy them off a rack. Mm. And men have to understand, as well as women, as we do, that, you know, we are different body shapes. So you might have shorter legs and a longer body, or quite long arms for your size. So, you know, it's really important to make sure you get your suits tailored to fit you if you're a corporate man. And I think, you know, always dress age appropriately. That's probably the best advice.
What you're saying, okay, there is right or wrong, isn't there? There's, you know, you don't like someone in a V-neck watermelon knit and a pair of tan pant. Yum. That is wrong, isn't it?
Well, it's wrong if you think it's wrong.
You know, if that's their sense of style, then that's their sense of style.
But Kate, so have you ever had someone come in and the team have seen them and just gone, there's nothing we can do here. This is beyond our...
Never.
Like John Merrick, the Elephant Man.
There's always something you can do for somebody to make them feel great. And, you know, beauty comes from within anyway. So I believe that, you know, if you walk with your head held high and, you know, there's the best dressed men walking down the street and their posture's so bad that it just decreases how well they do look. It's really important with your hygiene as well. So the way you smell... You know, I'm sitting quite close to all you guys, but the way you smell and your teeth, like, you know, you need to look at your teeth because it doesn't cost a lot to go and get your teeth whitened.
If we were to have Shane Warne here, would you say to him that maybe he went a bit far with the teeth whitening? When you have to wear sunglasses to have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, I think you can do that as well, but I think it's got to do with spray tanning too sometimes.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
there's,
you know, you get orange skin and white teeth and it's like, they should have shine.
But yes, I suppose if you've, like Duncan, if you've got yellow teeth, then you just say recommend him wearing brown.
No, that's not right.
No, don't do that.
No. Okay.
It's a film industry standard.
Yeah, we have to go right back to the drawing board for you, Terry.
Ouch.
Wow.
Kate Allen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Right now it's time to think about young men embarking on the journey of life. Dreams are formed, hopes are realised, the world's your oyster. And like the warm glow of a candle, love flickers bright. But sometimes in our lives, the dreams are shattered. Our hopes fade and the oyster is contaminated by an ocean-dwelling algae. And like a candle, the flame of love grows cold and burns out. With this in mind, it's important to take time out in our busy lives to stop and gaze out of a rain-swept window. Watch the world go by. Think about all those people who are more successful than us. Happier, content, healthier, for whom dreams do come true. It's important to reflect on what might have been, to channel our anger and disappointment and use it against those who don't give us what we want. It's time for me time.
Alone again, naturally.
The number one United Kingdom male singer of 1972, Gilbert O'Sullivan. Born Raymond Edward O'Sullivan in Waterford, Ireland. You're listening to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National, joined once again by the surly yet somber Terry Wood.
Play ball.
The travel agent to the layman, Dallas Ng.
Yeah, it's from Tweed, not from Texas.
And of course, the brilliant second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Yeah, I don't have a catchphrase. I have to work one up before the end of this series, won't I?
Well, you should, because you were nominated for an award this week.
Thanks for mentioning that, Richard. Yes, I was. Best Cutaway at the ACS Awards, Victorian Division of the ACS. I have to say it's weird for me being back on the ABC broadcasting, because last time I worked, I don't want to say I was blacklisted, but there was a lot of trouble on the set of MDA. Remember MDA?
Another Shane Bourne show.
Remember that was about, it was doctors and lawyers. They couldn't make up their mind. I'm saying, which one is it? MDA, no one knows what that stands for. I said if it's doctors and lawyers, just call it diagnosis guilty. Wouldn't that be a better title?
That's a great title.
I was always, you know, speaking up on the set, and we had to work with Kerry Armstrong, and, I don't want to say she's difficult, but I remember we were doing a shot, and we'd already called action, and she said, oh, no, I've got to go back to wardrobe. I'm wearing day 4 underwear.
Oh,
and it was only a shot of her hand hitting a lift button. In fact, it wasn't even her. I think Annie Jones was subbing for her because it was just cutaway. Yeah. So, you know, I've got mixed feelings about working at the ABC, but I have to say I was called in on ABC's The Librarians, which is some sort of sitcom.
Yes.
I think set, might be set
I've
in a library.
About that yeah. somewhere. So. Yeah.
And they had a very inexperienced guest director on the series, and I was called in to patch over some errors, and I did a cutaway shot of, you know, Ros Hammond on the show of her ass.
Yeah.
Wasn't her real ass, it was the stunt fake ass she was wearing in the series.
This was series 3 where she had some large buttocks.
Yeah, it was all done with prosthetics, but one of the cutaways of Roz's ass has been nominated for Cutaway of the Year at the ACS Awards.
Congratulations,
Duncan. That's really great.
ACS, thanks, guys.
Australian
Cinematographer Society. I have to say I am up against my nemesis Brent Crockett, whose shot of an abandoned warehouse in a cop's LAC is the front runner.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's a very short-lived show. In fact, I think the title of the show was actually The Short-Lived Cop's LAC. I was surprised when they put that in the title sequence. I think that bodes ill for
that
a series
does, you're right.
longevity.
That cutaway that he did was so effective, I could have sworn Kate Ritchie was in the shot. But
Let's not talk about Brent's work. I'd like to think that I'm still a contender.
Oh, well, all the best.
Thanks, Richard. Good.
Next week, we'll fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, sure. See how we go.
Terry.
We've got some feedback, Richard.
Always great to hear from the ABC taxpayers.
You can go to our website and you can email us through all those forms and Twitter us. But this one here is from Michael from Mollymook. He's got some comments here. I very much like your show. Richard, perhaps you can answer these questions from Michael. Can you please stay longer than 8 weeks?
No.
Can you also give away strawberry milks and batteries?
No.
No. I thought that they'd be the answers, but I just wanted to leave it with you.
Very good questions.
Michael from Mollymook.
Michael from Mollymook up there in northeast New South Wales.
I think they've shot some wonderful film clips up there. The brothers Daddo, I believe the Daddo.
Cameron. Lachlan.
Yes. And?
Andrew.
Wow. Did a wonderful think piece on an opus they did on the problems with public transport in rural New South Wales.
It's a talented family.
It is, and I cannot confirm nor deny that I have booked holidays for the Daddos.
Wow. All of them.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
I reckon they travel together.
Can you confirm that they do
nor deny
frequent the Northern Territory more than most of us?
Well, it's like a friend of mine, Daryl, always says, you never, never know. I never remember how to say that. You never,
never
know
remember how
if
to
you
say.
Never, never go.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It.
Daryl.
Close friend.
Any more feedback there, gents?
We've been sent a... I don't know if this is a joke. It's from Handris Hansen, who says, Q... Why don't cannibals eat divorced women? A, because they're too bitter. Now, I'm sure there'd be a few people who got identified with that on this panel, but I don't know. Is that a joke?
Who's that?
Was
from
that a riddle?
Duncan, sorry?
That's from Handris Hansen.
Oh, Handris, I think he actually commissioned our show.
Oh, did he?
At the ABC.
Good on him. Stephen has called to say he has an interesting Ewan Chatfield story.
Wow.
We might have to set aside an hour of the program to get through that.
I did a night with Ewan Chatfield once.
Did you? How's he go?
Well, it was after he got hit in the head. It's kind of two Ewans.
Ewan Chatfield, the...
New Zealand fast bowler,
who
many put up there with Hadley and... Coney.
Jeremy.
Yeah. But there's two Ewans. And, you know,
there's two faces of Ewan.
Well, there is.
Chatfield.
There was one before he got hit in the head and then after. But both entertaining.
Well, there's a story there. And I'm not joking when I say that Ostentatious actually gave us a call. He was listening on the way home from a gig and he'd love to have a chat. I'd love to get Austin on and we'd have to be on standby with the beeping device.
Now, is it Austin his first name or is it Ostentatious a full name?
I think it's Austin _
a score.
Tatious.
Yeah. Austin Tatious.
Yeah. And he wants to come on our show.
He does.
He's very hard to get, Duncan. I don't really believe that he'd come on.
I think we would have to be in delay for that program because he does like to talk up a blue streak. I don't want to offend you, Austin, but I know you like some of the words that we are not allowed to deploy here on Radio National.
Wow, 1983's Australiana, the longest serving number one of the year. by ostentatious. I believe he's from the Mediterranean originally.
Right.
Okay. Sandy. Wonderful man.
Well, let's get him in.
Oh, well, if you do want to leave us a message or get on the Lonely Hearts Club or in the Lonely Hearts Club at any stage, please give us a call, 1-300-653-891. That's the Lonely Hearts hotline via our website at abc.net.au/rn, the Lonely Hearts Club. There are some slashes in there somewhere. And at Twitter, at Lone Heart Club. Right now it's time to spice things up in the bedroom with the language of love, care of Mathilde.
Sautez bonheur, joie dans le cœur.
Ça va coûter combien? Ça va coûter combien? How much will it cost?
It's Pillow Talk with Mathilde.
So good. I've responded to that in ways I hadn't anticipated.
You're sweating.
Sweating from the nostrils.
Yeah, I think you might have to pop down to Man What a Fuss. Get the undercarriage seat to
clean you up.
I went to Christ What a Nightmare. That was a foolish mistake.
CWAN.com.au. Coming up, we have international author Tony Wilson. We'll be chatting with him about love and literature. Right now, it's time to hear from Gloria Maria Milagrosa Fajardo.
Emergency. Paging Dr. Beat. Emergency.
Wow. Dr. Beat, the first international single released by the Miami Sound Machine. She was an interpreter at the international airport at Miami for some time. So much so that her language abilities attracted the attention of the CIA, where she was asked to consider employment, which, surprisingly, she turned down. I know they have a wonderful health benefit program there for the workers of the Central Intelligence Agency. You are listening to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National, here every Saturday night until April 2nd, according to the Gregorian calendar, until midnight, 10 till 12 on Saturday evenings. This evening, we're joined by Terry Wood, Dallas Ng, and Duncan Jardine. But even more exciting than that, we have a broadcaster, an author, a television presenter of some international renown. Mm. He has played professional football. He has completed university degrees. He has been even on the Einstein Factor.
Oh, Brains Trust.
The big one.
Yeah.
Wow. Of course, I'm referring to none other than the incredible polymath and man of Renaissance, Tony Wilson. Tony.
Hello, Lonely Hearters.
Tony, how are you this evening? So thanks for coming in so late to the Lonely Hearts Club.
I'm absolutely touched to be asked because it's been a big part of my Saturday nights over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I'm a young father, or I guess I'm now a middle-aged father, but certainly that couple of hours you can snatch between 10 and 12 to hear some like-minded voices on the air, it's really been something quite special.
Right. Obviously, he's not in the same category as us romantically.
No, I am happily married now since 2008. We just celebrated our third anniversary at Maha Restaurant, which had a lovely Middle Eastern spread.
To the same woman?
Same woman for 3 years, the lovely Tamsin.
Well, give it a few years.
And we've been together now since 1999.
Okay, well, all good things come to an end eventually.
Showing off. Tony, you said that you were a father. What was the birth like to be a man at a birth?
I'd be very
child?
Interested to hear about this in detail.
Well, the first one was actually something of a nightmare, not just because of the sort of trauma that my beloved had to go through, and it is a very painful thing. But I had a bit of a mishap in the sense that I was put on duty for the evening to provide a thing called a TENS machine.
which I believe is attached to the back of the individual delivering the child.
These are electrodes, and they go on the back, and they provide an electrostimulus that apparently distracts the muscles from the serious trauma that's going on.
Right, so it's a sort of Guantanamo Bay approach to giving birth.
It sounds horrible.
So basically, I was in charge of getting that machine intact and to the delivery suite.
Now how'd you go?
Well, the bit of the machine which the electrodes plugged in got there okay, but when I was unpacking the bag, as the call went out for the tens, I could not find the electrodes. No.
The electrodes are kind of probably the length of a foot, and they stick down on either side of the spine along the mother's, to the expectant mother's spine.
So Tamsin, who was, she was pretty fluent. As she said a lot of words very quickly about getting those electrodes.
Right.
And before I knew it, I was back on Nicholson Street, one of the streets in Melbourne, charging back to the suburban house to look for these electrodes. And so I left her there, perhaps to give birth.
Right. Did it have a successful ending?
Well, I went round the house. Eventually, I did one lap on my feet of the house and the second lap on my hands and knees as I tried to find these electrodes somewhere on the ground. And eventually, I open up a drawer and I see a packet that, for me, screams electrodes. I must say I hadn't seen these things before. I hadn't taken a huge interest in the prenatal period. I send a text celebrating to Tam.
To and your wife, who's in hospital.
About to give birth.
Who's holding on for your return.
I race back along Nicholson Street. I park like someone out of The Sweeney, sort of a bit of side curb park, straight upstairs. I run in probably unduly celebrating, like too pleased with my own effort, particularly as I then handed over these electrodes to her. And
about to have your first child?
First child, yeah. And she said, "This is a bicycle repair kit."
Oh, no.
Was she wrong?
No, she was right. It was that was written there on the packet, actually, if I had looked a little closer.
Yeah. And did it work?
It was the very large stick-to-the-back electrodes that I was meant to be providing, where it had actually come in the form of small rubber...
Puncture.
Yeah, small puncture.
And somehow you're telling us, after all that, you are still married. Yeah.
We are still married. That was actually the year 2007. So we even got married. She knew what she was getting into.
Then got married after.
Yeah, and got married after.
And Tamsin, I've met Tamsin. She's a lovely woman. And I'd like to know, will she compete again next year? And what's it like with her and Yana Pittman?
I think Tamsin actually spells her name S-I-N, but she thanks Tamsin Lewis.
That's a mix-up.
Tamsin Lewis, she thanks her for publicising the name because she has problems with the mispronunciation Tasman that has haunted her whole life. And it was Tamsin that gave the name some sort of popularity and an ability for people to understand it.
No. Tony's wife is someone else entirely puncture-free.
Tony, let's talk literature, of course, a well-known author.
Thank you.
Literature and love. Your experiences in both.
Well... in terms of writing books, I wouldn't say it's made me feel more attractive to women.
I certainly think that you would be more attractive to women having shown initiative and discipline and vocabulary, surely.
Mainly, a lot of librarians tend to be almost the only demographic that provide you with any sort of feedback.
I have seen some attractive librarians in my time.
Yeah, is there a lot of that sort of taking the glasses off? Oh, goodness.
Stamp this.
Yeah.
No, not so much. I wouldn't say that there's been any sort of revolution. And given that I wrote my first book in 2004 and I've been with Tam since 1999, I've not really had any opportunity to wonder if it's any different, because it's the same as it was before I was an author. But in terms of what I think books can do, I almost feel like I don't want to come and tell you guys how to give advice, because you've been giving it very well for a few weeks.
But bearing in mind, Terry has written a lot of books himself.
I think the reading experience, books themselves, are a great avenue to love.
How so?
Well, book clubs.
Mm-hmm. How do book clubs work? Like, we get together and suggest books?
Well, have any of you ever been in a book club?
Yeah. I should mention, Tony, that from my experience, book clubs don't work. I was involved in one a couple of years ago, which ended up
In the courts?
In the courts, after an all-in brawl, but basically...
The classic book club story. Here we go, take it away.
It's as old as time, Dallas, but basically the book club works in terms of if you do get together, you agree on a book to be read that week or that fortnight, and then you get together and you talk about the book.
Now, can I take you back? Because normally when you join a book club, I've found when I've joined them that not many men join. So you'll normally be quite outnumbered by women.
Yeah.
Was that the situation in your book club?
That was a bit of a problem. There were 11 women and I was the only man.
Oh.
The first 3 weeks, you know, some names of books got thrown up. You know, Christos Tsolkas's The Slap and Jonathan Franzen's Freedom, they were mentioned. I put forward to the book club that we should read... Steve Roach is Doing My Block, where he has a marvellous 3 chapters about him and Paul Sirenin. And that is where I would say things went down.
Yeah, I think you're leaving out a key part of the story, Terry, because I was actually roped into attending this book club. And I think, if I recall, you did suggest one of your own books, The Wood, the Bad and the Ugly, as the book of the week. And, you know, I think that's a little bit egotistical.
But you didn't tell me that before I put it forward. You were quite supportive in the lead-up.
Yeah. Hey, what's the book we could read? Oh, I know. What about one of mine?
Yeah,
well, it's all about me.
Yeah, let's pull out Little Red Riding Hood.
We could have read that one. Failed kiddies book.
That was shocking.
We're on a new one at the moment called How Terry Got His Groove Back, which I think could really...
Series of pictures where it joined the dots.
Just to the listeners, I would say that the first part of your story holds still, that you joined a club where you were vastly outnumbered by some of them presumably single women. You had a shared interest, an opportunity where the conversation comes easily because you've got something that you're going to talk about. And really, it's just a matter of going along with the sorts of titles that the club will want, the book club will want. I think you might have bucked it a little bit.
I just looked at the room, Duncan, and thought there'd be a lot of Steve Roach fans in the room.
Look, it's man drought central at a book club. Why not bust out, go along with, you know, what do they like the ladies? Eat, Pray, Love.
That's a good one.
Or Confessions of a Slummy Mummy. One of those, something with a cartoon of some high heels and a cocktail on the front.
The Shopaholic Takes Manhattan.
There you go. That's the way.
It's a good one.
Wow. There you go. They love that.
Well, I've got a couple here that would suit. This will be one of the big films of next year. Yeah. Water for Elephants.
Water for Elephants.
Oh, this has just been, I read something, being cast for a movie.
Well, listen to this. This is the sort of plot that a men's group should understand that this is where we should be looking in terms of attracting women. Like, listen to this. When Jacob Jankowski, recently orphaned... and suddenly adrift, jumps onto a passing train, he enters a world of freaks, swindlers and misfits in a second-rate circus struggling to survive.
Right.
Wow. That's a setup that's going to appeal to women.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Rather than the rugby league one that Terry fell into.
Doing My Block by Steve Roach.
I have read Doing My Block, and I must say he loves alliteration, Steve Blocker Roach, and it really is enjoyable when you read it out loud. Sarah Gruen, is that who wrote that?
That one's Sarah Gruen.
And Tony, are you suggesting that we turn up on a date with a book under our arm? Is that what you're saying? I mean, how does one read or bring up a book in attracting women? Do you go to a nightclub and order a round of Bad Manners and Coke and prop open Water for Elephants at the bar and start reading it at Crazy Bongs?
Well, it's not a bad point. I always carry a book on me, and so if I was single, I would try to arrive early somewhere, and then in the minutes in which you're waiting for your date to turn up...
Clever.
You read the book... and then they walk, and you say, "Oh, look!" And then you've chosen the book specifically to appeal to that person.
What about if you're at a club? You could take one of these newfangled Kindles.
Ah, the Kindle.
And you could obviously have
standing.
You know, you could be reading a book you want to read, like Pants, the Darren Mullane story, co-written by Eddie McGuire. And then, oh, there's a lady coming. Flip a switch, and then suddenly you're reading, you know, Kate Holden's On the Job in Tuscany or whatever
or Warwick Capper's Fall Forward.
Well, see, I think, is that one for the ladies, though?
Well, Warwick does actually transcend both genders.
Okay.
He's
androgynous.
You've got another one there, Tony?
Yes, The Help is another book I'd suggest to your male listeners. Mm-hmm. This is a book where it says 2 million copies sold. My view is that I've read it, and 1,999,999 of those copies sold were bought by women. I feel like I was the only man who read this book.
What's the help about?
It's about Mississippi in the 1960s, and it's about the African Americans who work as domestics in a town in Mississippi. Mm. And they bravely tell their story to a woman journalist who's willing to really risk her status in the town in order to convey these people's stories. And it's got a wonderful sense of jeopardy throughout. The first male character in the book appears on about page 125. Wow.
And they tell their story to the
journalist.
Journalist who's travelled back in time and now come back to present day to publish their stories. Great. Wow.
That's clever.
That's right. Well, it's not a fiction. This is a fiction. So it's set in the 60s.
Oh, I apologise.
Oh, so, it's fake.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably.
Well,
shouldn't
that's
read.
Not, that's dishonest.
Well, that is the point. Since the great era of the novel, it's something that we've had to get used to the idea of.
Not every book is.
It's the same with films.
I think you believe what you want.
Okay. Well, I've certainly read your prospectus on travelling in the Philippines and the package deals that you have. I can't believe some of those rates that they're offering for a 3.5-star hotel with an ocean view.
Hang on a second, Terry. Let's just pick up what you've just said. You just said it's a work of fiction, and I resent that because my packages are one in a million, and they're very unique experiences.
Okay, guys, group hug. Estelle Gatenby was here last week from Hosam, Healesville Chapter.
Breathe.
We don't want to get back into the flotation tanks.
No, we don't want to go back to Maddie Newton country.
Tony, will you stick around and have a chat to some of our Lonely Hearts Club members about some romantic reading literature? The phone number, our Lonely Hearts Club hotline, 1-300-653-891. But right now it's time to hear Fuba Wuba John. A staple of childhood favourites for more than 50 years, that was Burl Ives with Fuba Wuba Yon. That featured on the soundtrack to The Fantastic Mr. Fox, but I bought it from an enterprising young fellow in the Philippines who had pirated it at an early age and sold it to me with the complete DVD box set of Lost, which I paid less than $3 Australian for.
What was his name? So I've been in the Philippines a fair bit.
Sung Yao Su.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sungy.
Good man, Sungy. Always identifiable by the fact that it was well into the 40s and 100% humidity, but he'd always be wearing Ugg boots down at the markets.
That's very Sungy.
Yeah, good man. We're joined by the young Australian novelist, 2006.
2006. I shared it with Marcus Zusak. Do you know he went on and sold 3 million, 4 million copies of The Book Thief?
I heard that he bought them all himself, just to get that figure up. But we're joined by Tony Wilson, that wonderful voice, the bass baritone you can hear in the background, author of the wonderful novel Players, and also a brand new book that he released last year called Making News. What's Making News about, Tony?
It's about the son of a famous footballer over in the UK, an Australian Socceroo. Mm-hmm. The Socceroo gets caught up in a sex scandal.
Oh.
Involving two ladies, and it's about the way that the son deals with that trauma.
The Sun newspaper?
The son of that player. Right. So he then tries to work out whether maybe the footballer was set up by a tabloid newspaper.
There's a very fruity scene in the middle of the book, much along the lines of the sting that the tabloids launched on Shane Warne. With his Playboy underpants all those years ago.
Or Max Mosley, the Formula One chief.
Who's that's a less pleasant one.
Oh, it's an awful one. Yeah. As a writer, you sometimes get asked, you know, well, surely all these things have happened to you. It's what Dallas was on about before. That is the spark for an imaginative story. It does the spark come from something in your real life? And it's actually a little bit awkward, and my wife finds it awkward that people read the sex scenes, and she thinks that people
I picture you guys when I read sex scenes.
Right, so people picture you and your wife and another female friend all wearing masks of you, Tony Wilson masks.
Well, that's the thing. There are a couple of quite ridiculous scenes in this, and it upsets me that people might think they've actually happened. There's another sex scene involving the young teenage boy, the 17-year-old, who has a bit of a crush on the girl in the year above, and he has his sort of first grope sort of thing.
Wow. I think you won first grope scene of the year, didn't you, on the Tuesday Book Club?
Oh, well, I did. Thank you. Yeah.
They probably imagine you and your wife because your publishers put a fold-out of you and your wife just in the author's blurb.
Misleading, isn't it?
Tony, how do you decide when you're writing about the sex scenes, how do you decide what to put in, you know, from an innocent grope to, you know, the other end of the spectrum when there's a snooker ball? How do you decide?
Well, it's part of deciding which part of the bookshop you want to sit in, because there is a section of the bookshop called erotica.
Yes.
So if you want to be in the erotica section, you write an erotica scene. But I tend to try and always keep it skirting over the surface, if you like. You don't want it to sound like bad Mills and Boone either. No. But,
Look, I might take this moment to reveal that Duncan has been approached to do some second unit work on a film.
Oh, the Ricky Nixon story, yeah.
They're not going to call it Nixon.
No, they're not going to. Don't want to confuse it with the Oliver Stone epic, but it will be longer, that's what I'm told.
Wow.
And it will be mostly shot with hidden cameras.
Do you know I played on the same Hawthorne forward line as Ricky Nixon in 1992 and actually broke his ribs in a marking contest? And
your
I put up on Twitter. At the time, he didn't know what it was for. Boom, boom.
What's your Twitter sign, Tony?
By Tony Wilson. Without a U in by, I'm not that commercial.
Great. Check Tony out on Twitter. But it's time to cross all the way to Wagga Wagga, a place in rural New South Wales. And we're speaking with Barb. Barb, are you there?
I am. Hi, guys.
Thanks for calling up. What do you like to read to get in the mood, so to speak?
Well, I don't like using all that internet stuff, so I suppose for me it's as simple as a trip to the local library or historical society, because I really like to read Australian true accounts of pioneer Australians.
Oh, that's good. Do you have a favourite out there?
Not really. I'm happy to go anything from the First Fleet to sort of the Eureka Stockade. But I do have a special preference for stories about Ned Kelly.
Wow.
It's the mask, the disguise.
And what did you think of the Peter Carey novel about Ned Kelly, or do you not try fiction?
No, it's got to be completely true. I like to read accounts of his life, what kind of a guy he was. And I think, you know, had I been around at that time, we probably, you know, could have had a future together. But I'm not really sure what it is about that particular time. I think they just didn't have distractions like the internet and iPods.
I'm just enjoying the notion that they didn't have the internet in those days. And how would Ned Kelly's life have been different? I mean, would it have been a race to get Ned Kelly on the Twitter at? Would he have had to go Ned Kelly 12? Would it have been, hang on, guys, before you pull the switch, click and such
Mr.
is
Ned
life.
I think it's quite a long time to tweak the Gerildery letter, though.
Yeah, that's right. You couldn't get it down to 140 characters.
Thanks, Barb.
The Gerildery tweets.
Hashtag Bushrangers rule.
LOL.
Thanks, Barb. We're sneaking all the way across the Nullarbor to Perth. Anne, how's things in Perth?
Oh, hi, guys. Love the show, first up. It's amazing.
Cheers.
Wow. Thank you. What about the Lonely Hearts Club?
No, oh, come on, Richard.
I want to be a member. I want to be a Lonely Hearts Club member.
Well, Dallas, I think, is drawing up your file right now based on your VRS, the voice recognition system that he employs at Travel on Cavill, and I'm sure... Yep, what's the profile for Anne? Something in the Pacific Rim you've got there on your screen.
A lot of rim stuff.
Great. Solomon Islands, perhaps. And we're deviating off the subject at hand. Tony Wilson, the young Australian author of the year 2006, he has mentioned a couple of tomes that he likes to get into the mood to. What does Anne read?
Well, the Australian Woman's Weekly Cookbook Selection.
Which, really?
The original Margaret Fulton recipes?
They are, but I also like to deviate sometimes and go to the Golden Wattle cookbook. I mean, if you want, I could read you a recipe.
Yeah, oh, well, if you like.
Yeah. Is it suitable for national broadcast?
I can only hope so. It's a steak Diane.
No, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, heat the oil in a large pan. add steaks, cook until browned, both sides, and cooked as desired.
I think you better slow down a little bit there, Anne. It's getting a little bit too hot and steamy in here.
So that's what was going over at the Women's Weeklies. We had the Nursing Mothers Association of Australia cookbook in our house.
NMA, yeah. Wow.
And it said NMA Cooks with the acronym. And I always wondered who NMA was for all of my childhood.
NMA. That's kind of like... Your surname, Dallas, what does NG stand for? Am I being insensitive?
I believe you are. I haven't done a lot of looking into my past, but NG, I don't believe is an acronym. I think that is actually my name.
Oh,
wow. I thought it was from the periodic table, to be honest, and I thought that NG stood, of course, for heartbreak.
Ouch. It very well could, Terry.
Thank you, Anne. We'll be sure to check out that cookbook and...
Please do.
Yeah, sauté in our own juices. Michael from Mollymook. This is not the same Michael that Terry Wood read your feedback response from earlier in the show.
Is that right, Michael? You wrote into the show during the week asking us to please stay longer than 8 weeks, and can we also give away strawberry milks and batteries? Was that you, Michael?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, explain yourself.
What's that mean?
Just got a bit excited. You know, I was writing my email. I listen to a lot of radio stations. They give away lots of stuff. I thought it was part of the culture, and I just wanted to join in, really.
No, it's a good suggestion. We'll put it past management to Richard and see what happens.
Michael, if we were to give away batteries, what size were you thinking?
I'm quite fond of a...
Of the D?
The triple A's. Got it?
Easily lost the triple A's.
D's are very useful. As parents, we use the D's a lot because a lot of the kids' toys take the D batteries. Have any of you got kids?
No, I don't.
Probably for the best, but we don't.
It's funny you mention that, Tony, because, yeah, I did mention the book I wrote on parenting, Father Wood, which, not having kids, it wasn't a big seller, but...
Yeah, you presume to raise a kid.
Well, I just borrowed stories from Dick Van Patten and just put them under
From Ada's Enough.
Yeah, so From Ada's Enough. Okay. And, yeah, it wasn't a big seller, but anyway.
Michael, is there anything that you'd like to read to get into the mood for love?
There's two books. Getting It Right with Types, which is about typography and whatnot.
You just like to kern yourself to sleep, don't you, Michael?
Yeah, yeah. I quite like find the FI ligature in a Clarendon slab font quite arousing.
Thanks so much for your calls. You can, of course, contact us anytime during the week at our website, abc.net.au/rn/thelonelyheartsclub, or our Lonely Hearts Hotline, 1300 6 538 91. Tony Wilson, thank you for chatting to us about love and literature. We love your work.
Thank you.
Right now, it's time to hear a song that made me cry as a youth when I learnt that it had left Barry Bissell's top 40. Philip Oakey and Giorgio Moroder from the film Electric Dreams from 1984. That song was actually released in 1985 after the movie, and I believe it commercially did a lot better than the film, but synth pop new wave at its finest. Great to see Tony Wilson in the club. You can always hear our shows in podcast form as soon as we sign off at 12 o'clock. You can pirate it as of 12:01, the podcast. Also on iTunes. At Lone Heart Club is our Twitter ID, our avatar. The Lonely Hearts Hotline is 1300 653 891. You're listening to ABC Radio National. Very exciting time because we have a brand new segment here.
I am very excited about it. I've been excited about this, but I haven't been able to concentrate on much. I can't remember anything Tony Wilson said because I've been excited about this segment.
Thank you, Dallas. I appreciate that. It has been hard to get through the show knowing that this is coming.
It's a vote of confidence that it's been given such a showcase position at the very tail end of the broadcast.
This segment may go some way in explaining your absence from the Lonely Hearts Club for the last 2 weeks. Where have you been?
I had a little trip over to Dubai.
Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
That's right.
With your partner, Wendy Turnbull.
Well, I went with my on-and-off partner, Wendy Turnbull, the Rabbit. You may remember her, the halcyon days of Australian women's tennis. But the Rabbit and I, we were on when we left, and we're off. Now that we're back.
Any reason that you
Well, I did tell Rabbit that she would be required to wear a burqa while we're over there, while I was recording this thing that we're about to hear.
The traditional Muslim
custom.
A couple of things, a couple of problems. At customs, she wanted to wear the traditional Wimbledon of all white.
That's her custom.
Which I'd supported her, but then when she wanted a headband over the burqa, that was mildly problematic.
That was the Pat Cash checkered one.
He's copyrighted it. And the rabbit wanted to do that. Problems at the gate. And basically I just left her at the airport for a couple of weeks, grabbed her on the way back.
But, and whilst you're in Dubai, you recorded this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 with Terry. With me, Terry Wood.
Welcome, one of Australia's greatest swimmers, Ian Thorpe. Thanks for your time. Question one. From your experience, best place to meet people?
The ice cream parlour at the Athletes Village, 2004 in Athens.
Prefer a red or a white wine?
Chilled Chablis, white.
Who would you get to sing at your wedding other than me?
Laurie Lawrence.
Greatest sporting achievement?
To come, the 2012 Olympics.
Pretty confident, eh?
Yeah.
Drop and give me 10 push-ups, man.
Really?
Yeah, 10. 10 with Terry, 10 push-ups, go.
Where?
Just there, it was fine. Just move your goggles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You want all 10?
Yeah, all 10. It's called 10 with Terry. 6.
That was 2 6. 6. 6. 6.
10 with Terry. With me, Terry Wood.
Okay, I'm look.
Huh?
Gee, I don't know, Dallas, if you're as confused as I am, but firstly, it's 10 with Terry.
Yeah.
You only seem to ask 3 to 4 questions.
The only relevance to the 10 was the push-ups, which seemed like you just thought about that on the spot anyway.
Well, yeah.
He didn't actually do 10 push-ups either.
No, that's true. No, it was numerically unsound.
There are many layers, Duncan, to that segment.
You think that's good radio?
Well, I think that Radio National and radio in general have been crying out for more physical activity on air.
I would question, if you did do 10, why would you stick with 6 push-ups?
Well, 4 questions and 6...
So there's your 10, by the way, if you want to get technical. There's the 4. Well, there's the 4 questions plus the 6 push-ups.
I don't think you can expect every listener to put the pieces together to add the 4 questions and the 6 push-ups.
Richard, I don't feel the need to defend myself. No, I am the only one over here creating new segments.
And I think it was wonderful that you travelled to the Middle East to make Ian Thorpe do 10 push-ups.
Well, and also don't forget the probing and personal Q&A about his life and love and me that came before the push-ups.
Laurie Lawrence to sing at his wedding.
Yeah, well, no one will forget that now that they know it.
Well, boys, let's take a breath and let's do what they say at HOSM at the Healesville chapter. Let's agree at the halfway mark. So why don't...
I'll take on board
what Dallas and Duncan Jardine are saying, the feedback. I particularly like
the segment, Terry. Thank you, Richard. I'm sure that many of the listeners out there and my agent will be rapt that we finally got that segment up.
Take on board what they say. Why don't you meet them halfway and perhaps try a new segment next time?
Okay, it's a good idea.
I can do a new
segment. A brand new segment.
Well, a brand new segment. Next time I'm in, I'll have a new segment for you, Duncan.
Well, gents, it's that time of night. It's almost midnight. The witching hour is upon us. It's time to fare each other farewell for another week. And we must thank Dallas Ng, who has come all the way down from Cavill Avenue.
Thank you for having me. I feel...
Thanks, Dallas. It's been great.
Good to see you again.
You're all... You seem well, and I'm glad that you're on the right path to where we last spoke at Healesville. So, well done.
What's on for you this week?
This week, we're back to work. We have special pineapple deals going all week, which are trips to Queensland. Queensland needs every single one of your tourism dollars, so get up to Queensland, have a pineapple and a slightly inflated priced banana, and you'll have a great time.
Great. What about you, Terry Wood?
Well, there's a few speaking engagements. I am looking forward to one. I'm doing a Q&A, actually, with former Australian fast bowler Merv Hughes about a book that he's had out for a little while called Merv Hughes's best sporting insults. It's the pre- and post-racial vilification era.
You're doing the queuing or the A-ing?
I'm doing the queuing, and Merv will be doing the A-ing.
One of my favourite books from Merv was Look Hughes Talking.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure it'll come up, Dallas. I'll have to read that before I talk to him.
Of course, he defied publishers' expectations and did hit the top 10 in China. Mm. Where that was published, it was translated into quite a topical and humorous title. What was the name of the title in Chinese?
Hughes Talking Look. I think that just changed the order.
Didn't know you were fluent.
Yeah. Well, you have to in the service industry, don't you?
I've been to China several times.
Yeah.
The land of the rich.
Esteemed second unit director Duncan Jardine, no doubt some entertainment work for you on some film sets this week.
Yes, I'm doing some pickup shots for a proposed documentary, which is apparently a very sensitive look at Australia's gay billiards scene. And that's hosted by Rodney Rood. It's called Rack to the Poofters. I think that might be the name of his tour. I'm not sure. It's
insensitive. I hope to see you boys again here at the Lonely Hearts Club. Duncan, I'll definitely be seeing you next week. We are joined by Wesley DeShon again.
Oh, the poet. He's great.
The poet's back. Thank you, Dallas Ng.
Thank you.
And Terry Wood, thank you to you once again.
Thank you, Rich. You did a great job.
Thanks also to Tony Wilson, the best young Australian novelist of 2006. Also to Kate Allen and the best actor cook in Australia, Jane Allsop, who gave us some first date recipes. Thank you also to you, the Lonely Hearts Club listener. My name's Richard Silk, and as we say here at the Lonely Hearts Club, may all your love be free of cost. Right now, it's Trevor Chappell.
Oh, oh, oh.